The following sermon is presented by Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
Good evening. You can be seated. Good evening. It is great to have all of you come out to celebrate the Lord's goodness, kindness, and to show our just thankfulness over the course of this last year. But for those of you who perhaps were, you know, saved this year, praise the Lord as well. And so we are just so thankful to see everyone out here tonight. So just a couple things. First of all, I don't know if Joe announced it or not, but there are brownies, apparently a mass amount of brownies and subsequent macaroni and cheese as well, enough to feed us all a few times, located in that room over there. So after we're all done, you are greatly encouraged to grab something, bring it home, pass it out on the highways and byways on your way home, use it as a witnessing opportunity, whatever you have to do. But we would love to just be able to bless you or your families. So this afternoon or this evening, I almost said this morning, this evening, we're just going to take a few minutes in the beginning, kind of give you an idea of the flow of the service, just a few minutes. I reached out to a few people and asked them if they just wanted to share a brief 2 minute plus or minus testimony of just the Lord's faithfulness over this past year. So we're going to have them. We have six people that are going to share. Then after that, just a little devotion, just to encourage you guys as you're heading into this holiday season. So I just wanted to read Psalm 77:11. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. And so it's important to have a service like this because we are commanded to remember. And when we don't remember the faithfulness of God and how he's worked in the past, we have a habit of living in the hard times in the moment right now, not realizing that again and again the Lord has brought us through those hard times time and time again. And so we're to remember that. And so that's part of why we get together tonight, is just to remember the goodness of God and how he's brought us through. So I've asked Joe to just walk around, and we're going to start with Dale. If you want to grab Dale. Dale, you can stand up. Fantastic. Thank you.
Just to let you know, Bob, I was going to announce the brownies, but Todd was going to take them all home. So.
Oh, is that what it was? Todd's going to take them all home?
Okay, when they asked me to share testimonies or testimony tonight, I just thought I would start by sharing with a verse from Philippians, because this came to my mind. Philippians 1, verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. All of you here have been a blessing to me and my family this year. We always thank God for this body of believers that Kathy and I are privileged to serve on a leadership team. We appreciate that leadership team. We praise God for it. I also praise God and thank God for a lovely and loyal wife who's stood by me for 48 plus years now. So we have, thank God for two kids who are married, have grandkids, and they're walking with the Lord. And so all that's a blessing that we don't often remember. So we're thankful for that. Appreciate all the, and thank God for the graces that he's given us here at this church for a lot of you practicing the one another's. It's really wonderful to see. It's a blessing to me and to the rest of the leadership team. And so we just thank you, and we thank God for you. And keep it up. Keep going on.
Thanks, Dale. Teresa Jensen. Yeah, you have to stand up for Joe, so.
Thanks. You told me I could sit down. Pray that you strengthen the feeble
knees. You
can't
say that in
knees.
Front of everybody.
Well, then you said 2 minutes. I'm like, 2 minutes? I mean, I can talk for half an hour, right?
Well, the show is
yours.
Kidding,
I'm kidding. But, you know, I guess when you said 2 minutes, I thought, you know, there's so much to be thankful for. But as I thought about it this week, it's like, Lord, what do you want me to share in all the things that he has done in this past year? And I thought of as a like a scrapbook, a picture book of all the wondrous things that God has done. And I called them, you know, snapshots of his grace or snapshots of thankfulness. And I could think of so many things, you know. My salvation, his word in the song that we sing, that there's glory on every page of that book. And my church and the leadership and how they're so committed to honoring Christ and in building us up and in spurring us on. And my family, my children, my grandchildren. There's so many things in the friends that God has given to spur me on to worship and serve him. You know, but then I thought of, you know, there's a lot of pictures in that picture book that aren't as pretty. Those are great things to look at, and I'm so thankful. But then God also brought to mind, there's a lot of things in this, the pictures of grace, that I'm not always very thankful for. I thought of the weaknesses, the failures, the things in my life that I'm not pleased about, the things that I grumble and complain about because I don't like them, and I feel like they're a barrier to me serving him, which is so not true. And that verse, and I have to, it's like, how do I remember everything? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I realized, you know, even those snapshots of all of the things that I don't consider beautiful and that I would want to put in my photo album, but God puts those all in that photo album of my life, because those things that are the ones that I don't think are so beautiful are the ones that actually make me press into him and make me want to lean on his breast and to search his word. And I can't say that I'm always very thankful. But, you know, that verse is like, that is a command to be thankful in all things. And when, you know, when we say we don't always know what the will of God is, well, that is the will of God, is to be thankful in all the circumstances. So that was looking back. Looking forward, I also realized God has given us snapshots of his grace, that his precious promises of that he will never leave us, he will never forsake me, he will lead me to persevere to the end, and that I will enjoy that inheritance. I enjoy it now, but will enjoy it forever. So looking unto the author and the finisher of my faith, I want to continue with your help too in continuing to thank him for not just the good things that I consider good, but also the hard things that he has put in my life for my good. And I want to close with Revelation 11:17. So we give you thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come. Sorry, was that longer than 2 minutes?
No, that's fine. He took my text for tonight, too, so I got nothing left. So I hope you guys talk a little longer. Jamie Meyer?
Over the last year, Christ our Savior, Lord and Savior, has brought peace, love, joy into my life. Anxiety and depression has been a struggle for me for many years. As I began studying the Word and looking to Christ for peace, I no longer am on antidepressants. One passage from Philippians is my focus when I am struggling with anxiety. Philippians 4:4-9, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Since attending Maranatha on December 31st, 2017, I was hoping for a Christian relationship with ladies who would bring me into their lives and help this new Christian grow into a godly wife. Not having an example of this while I was growing up, I longed for this here at Maranatha. After Pastor Todd's sermon on discipleship, I felt God was laying this concept on my heart as an answer to my prayers of having Christian-based friendships. After prayers and discussion with my husband, Suzanne Scott was laid on my heart to seek out. She has been such an inspiration to me and leads me into a closer walk with the Lord. Thank you, Suzanne. This was the start of developing further Christian-based friendships with fellow ladies of Maranatha. As I knew I needed to continue my growth as a newbie Christian, I started attending women's Bible study on Monday evenings. God used the avenue to develop more friendships and strengthen my relationship with our Lord and Savior. One lady took me under her wing, and I am so thankful for her little text messages weekly, checking in with me, and hugs every time I see her. You are truly a blessing to my life, Brenda. Through this year, God has renewed my spirit and shown me that there are true, compassionate, and loving people in the world that I am thankful to call my friends.
Thank you, Jamie.
Rachel Herbert.
Hi. I don't do this often, so. I don't know how many people know this or not, but I have only been coming to Maranatha for about 2 years now, and maybe a little over 2 years, but the Lord led me to Maranatha purely on his own will. I had nothing to do with it because I wasn't, didn't actually envision this, and it wasn't what I was searching for, but I was searching to know the Lord more. About 3 years ago, I just kind of hit a turning point where I knew that I had kind of wasted the better part of my young adult life, worrying about things that didn't really matter to the Lord, and I was not devoted to the Word, and so I was honestly seeking a place or seeking something that I would just be able to grow. And when I came to Maranatha, I was just hit with a wall of, thankfulness that I'd heard a sermon that I hadn't heard anything like that in a long time. And so I was just, it was the easiest kind of decision. It was a hard transition, but an easy decision, knowing that this needed to be my new home. And I think looking back in the past 2 years where I've seen God's faithfulness is, I was actually really burdened after I had been at Maranatha for a couple months, because I realized after every Sunday and every Wednesday night theology class how little I really knew about the Bible, or what I had known was wrong. And so I had to kind of relearn a lot of things and unlearn things that I didn't realize were incorrect. And that was a big challenge for me, and I just felt really burdened by that. And I was talking to a sweet friend here one Sunday about it, and ironically, I was already in this book. I was helping teach this in Sunday school, but we were in the book of Joel, and I had already gone through this passage, but ironically, when I was laying my heart out to this friend, she's like, yeah, you know that verse in Joel that talks about, you know, the locusts? And I was like, well, yeah, it's all about locusts. And she said, no, but the one that, you know, the Lord will restore what the locusts have taken away. And I had never really looked at it with that perspective, because I was really trying to study more of, like, you know, the day of the Lord and the locusts. And but the implication there just really did work in my heart. I felt like the Lord was telling me, like, you know, you have wasted this time, but you're here, and I'm going to restore those years that you have wasted. And so I've just seen his faithfulness by just all the growth that I have kind of attained in the past couple of years. I have so much more to grow, but I'm just grateful that he brought me here. This verse 2 out of Joel is just something that I've really kind of clung to. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yeah.
We have Matt Tomlinson.
Hey. I was also wasn't told that I'd have to stand. So. Hi. So as Bob had said, and as Teresa had said much more eloquently than I probably could, we have a tendency to focus on the bad things that happen throughout the year, those little snapshots of whatever it may be, you know, trouble and hardship at work, things that are just dragging us down. But I always come back to this verse in 2 Corinthians 12. It says, "And he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" I just see those evidences, those graces that God has provided me throughout the year, whether it's every day getting to come home to my wife who encourages me and just helps me forget about the troubles and the stresses of my work day or whatever it may be that's bringing me down. I can always count on her to put a smile on my face. She's the best gift I have ever received, other than my salvation. Being here at this church, getting to serve, you know, as Todd mentioned this morning, you know, we're clay pots, and God has chosen to use us for his means, and that is one of the greatest experiences we can have is to be used for his sake. So I'm just so thankful for that, getting to lead more in youth ministry, getting to take on the Awana program. It's been such an amazing blessing to get to step into that role and not just to be able to see your kids every Wednesday, which is awesome. They're a great, fun time there, but just getting to see all the high schoolers and junior hires who I've seen in Surge and Impact now stepping into a leadership role. And sorry if I'm embarrassing, I don't know where you're sitting, but Jacob England, he has blown me away this year, just the way that he stepped up and the way that he is leading. It's amazing to see that growth, knowing where they started and now where they're coming through. It's just, that's such a greater encouragement to me than my troubles and distresses are. So just praise be to him for the work that he's continuing to do, and pray that I can just continue to have growth and serve in this church. So thank you.
Thanks, Matt. And Mr. Jim Kuiphoff.
I don't think that's quite fair. You took him a minute to walk back here, so a minute of mine is already gone.
I'll give you 30 seconds, Jim. 30, I saved you the best for last.
Philippians 4:6 has already been quoted, but it's a verse that has come to mind in this past year. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. By prayer and supplication, let your thanksgiving be, or let your request be made known before God. I'm a kind of a, within my inner self, I'm an anxious person. I may not appear that way, but I really am. A lot of things come to mind that I spend a lot of time thinking about and am concerned about. In this past year, serving as an elder, we've made a lot of very hard decisions, and I began to see that some of the decisions we were making, that's the only thing that we could come to a conclusion was strictly from the Word of God and by God's grace. And I saw seven other men come to the same conclusions I did, and I realized that that was far beyond my ever being able to take this on myself as a person to make a decision for myself in these issues and come to a conclusion. And that really struck me that seven of us, eight of us would come together in the same exact point by God's grace, that he was ahead of us. He was making these decisions before us. And I realized that this anxiety that I personally have within my heart had to be taken care of. And so when I read this again, Philippians 4:6, it says, "But in everything, every detail, we are to cast our concerns on him." Peter talks about the same thing, and he says, "Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you." And I began to see that in a very personal way, God really cares about the small details of my life. I've always thought, and I guess my culture where I was raised, that I can take care of the small details, and I'll let God kind of run the universe and take care of the big things in my life. But he really is concerned about every detail. I'll give you an example of this. Paula Humphrey needs a new office, and I was involved with repairing that and making it. Brian Carpenter and I went to look for a window to put in her office, and the price came back $910 for a window. Well, being Dutch, as we both are, we couldn't pay that. And so I began, this idea, does God really take care of the anxiety? And that's a kind of a concern because we had the responsibility, and I prayed about it. Next thing I know, I go to a recycle store. I walk in. There's two panes of glass laying on the table. I asked the lady, "Are those for sale?" And she said, "Oh, yeah." And I looked at the price. They were $1 each. So when I checked out, she said, oh, by the way, I have a sale going on. It's $1.59 for the two of them. So you think about, is God concerned about the details of life, the small details of life? So I brought them in. I showed Paula. She said, Jim, they're perfect. It's exactly what I want. So for $1.59, we got the two windows. We put them in. And I thought, praise God, he's concerned about those small details. I've seen him helping us as elders on some huge decisions we made, but I saw him taking care of two small windows that she needed for $1.59.
Thanks, Jim. We do have a couple minutes. We'll open it up. If one or two of you have something you'd like to share, you kind of got to see a few people go. If you'd like to, you can raise your hand. If you just have something you want to share you're thankful for over this past year, Joe will bring you the microphone. Anybody? You can even copy what somebody else said. Okay, Jacob. Well, you got to stand. That's the prerequisite. Ah, here you go.
I've just, over the past few months, started to really... I'm really feeling how... really thankful for this church. Really feeling like a part of this body, which... Yeah. I'm just very thankful for the all the encouragement and that I've been receiving as I try to become an adult become a more mature man and. Just, I'm very thankful for all the encouragement I've received, especially from the Awana leaders. Their encouragement for and just to get back at him for Matt, especially for all he's doing in leading, and then. Nate Langle as well, for his how he's been discipling recently, and then so many others as well. I've just really started to I've really been appreciating that more. It's been very evident to me over the past few months. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Good examples before you. You can slide right in. Oh, perfect. Thank you.
So a couple of years ago, I fell into a lot of depression over a lot of things that had to do with me not knowing if I was truly a Christian. And so it was a really hard year. But about a year ago, I talked to Rachel Herbert, and I am so thankful for her because she started discipling me, and now I am so glad to be able to say that I am truly a Christian, and I'm just so thankful for her because without her discipling, I don't know if I would have been able to say that I truly believe that I was a Christian. And I'm so thankful for the whole church body because you've all been there for me. And I'm just so, so thankful for everything.
Thank you. I see a hand in the back. I see you back there. You can stand up. Perfect.
Well, this year has had some unexpected twists and turns for us. And while we've always had admiration for people who have struggled with health problems and have made it through, we're going on about 2.5 months now, and we're about going crazy. So we have even more respect for people like that. But The support that we've gotten from Maranatha has been extremely overwhelming. With all the meals, with all the prayers, with all the help with taking care of the kids, helping with the house, helping with the rental property, it's been truly amazing. And we are just so appreciative. We love you guys.
Thanks, Jeff. Anybody else? We got time for one more? Something burning? Oh, we got a hand. Fantastic. Yeah, you have to stand up. It's required.
I'm just really thankful for this whole body. I mean, when I came here last year, I had no idea that this would truly become my family. And just especially shout out to all my mom friends. Y'all know who you are. I love y'all so much. And just talking to you guys and just being discipled by you all and just you all guys all showing me the love of Christ has been truly amazing. And just I don't know what I'd do without you guys. And just, I mean, I wasn't even saved 2 years ago, and I just can't imagine little old me, you know. God plucked me out of where I was and brought me here, and I'm just so thankful, and you guys are all amazing. And, yeah, God is good. God is so good.
Thank you. Awesome. Well, just a round of applause for everyone. Thank you for sharing. And I hope you guys were encouraged to see how the Lord has been working. And I think oftentimes we don't necessarily know the means by which God works, but a lot of it just has to do with that one-on-one discipleship, the one another ministry that the Bible hammers on and the New Testament. And so hopefully we can all be looking out for those that we can come alongside and help. But if you open your Bibles, I really am in 1 Thessalonians. And Teresa took half of my sermon, so I was hoping there'd be a few more people to speak. But 1 Thessalonians 5, and just one verse, 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And I think, you know, this time of year, we come together, we have families, friends that we like to get together with, and we remember the past year. We like to, you know, as reminisce and see how things went, and we have good times over the past year. Some of you have experienced hard times. You know, some of you have additions to your family, maybe new babies, maybe marriages. Some of you have lost loved ones this past year. But all in all, through all the ups and downs, the ebb and flow, if you will, of life, we are commanded here to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Sometimes these things that come upon us, they hurt our normal routines. These are times where we have to make a choice. And it falls solely on us, how we can react to these times. It's such a simple command when you read 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks." And if we're commanded to give thanks, then we as believers should be giving thanks. And there's just that extra little bit that Paul adds on there. He says, give thanks in everything. So not just give thanks when you're thankful, not just give thanks when it meets what you think you should be thankful for, but quite literally, give thanks in everything. So if you're here tonight and you're trying to search out God's will for your life, though this sermon is certainly not about that, a good place to start, though, would be right here. Are you simply giving thanks? Because that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So through it all, even when we seemingly cannot have anything that would be rational to give thanks for, as believers, we are to have that attitude of thankfulness. And as we'll find out shortly, our thankfulness is directly related to what we believe about God. In fact, without a real robust understanding of who God is and what God has done for us, we can easily start to drift, and we can easily start to act like the world that's around us. We can act like those whose thankfulness is truly ungrounded and truly untested. In fact, speaking of those who are not yet born again, Romans 1:21, Paul says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So the indictment of the unregenerate man that Paul lays down is because they refuse to thank God for everything. The life they have, the breath they breathe, all the things they enjoy, they don't give thanks to God for it. So the unregenerate man, the man who hasn't bowed his knee to Jesus Christ, the man who hasn't repented of his sin and put his faith in Christ, they sometimes just think that they're lucky. They say, oh, luck is when opportunity and preparation meet, and there it was. Good things happen to me because I attract good things, you hear. Some believe in karma. If you do good things will happen to you. Others believe that if they think positive thoughts, then positive things come your way. The list goes on and on for the world, but the thing that they will constantly refuse to do is thank their Creator for what they have in their life. These ideas should never live in our minds. We should never think if we do good enough, good things happen to us. We should never think that if we just think good things are going to come our way. You see, the believer knows that you've been brought from death to life. The regenerate man knows that you once walked in darkness, but now you've been blessed and enabled to walk in the light. And there's something else that we know as believers. We know that it's God who did all of this for us. We also understand that we played no part in this salvation. The unbelieving man, you and I, before we were born again, we found no joy in Christ. It was only when he graciously saved us, only when he called us into his family. So because of this, knowing this, that you've been changed quite literally from an enemy of God into a friend of God, how can you not truly be thankful? So before we look at this seemingly impossible command, we want to build a brief theological framework for this command of thankfulness to actually sit on. And I must say, as I went through this and you look at the passages in Scripture on thankfulness, there are a lot of passages on thankfulness. It's almost as if God knew that we would naturally have a tendency against thankfulness. So there were dozens and dozens and dozens of commands for the believer to be thankful. So our theology is always going to come out in our actions. What that means is what we believe about God is always going to be shown in how we act, right? It's impossible to escape it. Nobody can. Simply put, what we say, what we think, how we act exposes our belief about God. And this is really what Jesus had in mind. He said in Matthew 15:18, as he was indicting them, he said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me," as he quoted from Isaiah. So they sounded really good, but inside they were just dead, hard hearts. Just like the nation of Israel, we too can run the risk of giving great lip service to God, but essentially acting like we are atheists on a day-to-day basis. We can think that if we're good enough, good things will come to us. The opposite is true too. We can think that, man, I have hardships coming upon me. I must have done something really bad. God, I must be out of God's good grace. And then we somehow kind of put together a grid work or a framework in our mind to where we can start working ourselves back into God's good graces. All of these ideas exist outside of Scripture, but we put them on ourselves to try and reach. Essentially, we're putting a standard on ourselves that doesn't exist in hopes that God will accept it. So what drives our theological framework for always being thankful? How can we fulfill this command in 1 Thessalonians 5:18? Really, just three things I want to share with you this evening. First of all, look at Psalm 84:11. And in Psalm 84:11, we see God's good provision for us. And the psalmist writes, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." This is a fantastic promise. And there's a lot to unpack here. We're just going to kind of gloss over a few things. First of all, he said the Lord is our sun and our shield. He is a light for us to be able to walk worthy of the gospel for which you've been called. And he is also not only that light to make sure we're walking in the right direction, but as we're walking in that right direction, he's a shield that protects us as we're walking. He's the brightness of our days. He continually shines goodness upon us. The sun sustains all life on earth. It's a never-ending source of energy. It cheers our sagging spirits when it breaks through the clouds during a storm. Even so, the Lord God is a sun to us. Just as the sun lights away, his shield keeps us safe. The Lord provides for us to live in such a way that we need not worry, but simply obey. Secondly, he says the Lord is our grace and glory. And grace here is talking about finding favor in the eyes of the Lord, much like when he talked about Noah found favor. The glory spoken of here is our abundance or our riches. These things come to us in God's timing and in God's proportion. And I like what John Calvin says, that after God has once taken the faithful into his favor, he will advance them to high honor and never cease to enrich them with his blessings. That's the relationship we have with God. And then lastly, the psalmist says that God withholds nothing good from those who are walking uprightly. The Lord provides all you and I need. Paul actually reiterates this in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Nothing should be more satisfying to our soul than knowing that God will not withhold anything which is for our good. So this means it may not be what you think is good, or it may not even be what you think you need. You may believe that God is withholding something good from you, but a good way to think about it is, if you do not have it, it obviously isn't good for you. Finances, health, material, life. If it was something that you needed and it was something good, then God would make sure that you had it. Do you trust God to withhold and bless according to his standard of kindness? Now, we do have our part to play. The psalmist says we need to walk uprightly. That means we live before God with integrity. Certainly doesn't imply perfection, but it does mean that we walk openly before God. We confess our sins before God. We trust his grace and we trust his strength to overcome sin. And you simply seek to please God and simply seek to obey his commands. The Lord withholds nothing good. So do you believe that God provides all the good things that you need? The next verse we want to look at and how we can have a thankful heart. Psalm 84, we read about God's good provision, providing those good things. And now we look at Romans 8:28. Such a common verse, I think oftentimes we set it aside when we hear it. But the verse is packed. I know we know it well. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Just want to pull out a couple highlights out of this as well. The all things here Paul has in mind is all the hardships, all things they've been suffering, all the injustices, all the evils that befall the Christian. We're not commanded here to rejoice in the fact that we are suffering, but as one commentator writes, so we should be comforted and consoled by the fact that our suffering is neither futile nor ultimately tragic. It may be very painful and difficult to endure for the moment, but God stands sovereign over our suffering. Do you know what else we have to be thankful for concerning our suffering? God's promise to bring goodness out of our suffering is not for everyone, but those who love God. Why do we read, study our Bibles? Why do we have fellowship? Why do we gather together corporately as a body? Why do we have all the times that we come together to learn from God's word? It's so we can better know God, and the more we know about God, the more we love God. You cannot love an unknown person. God's love for us and our subsequent love for him is the relationship which Christianity is based on. He loved us first. He sent his son to die for us when we were still sinners. We only love him because he first loved us. So those who love God have the promise that all their suffering, all their difficulties are going to be worked together for their good and for the glory of the God they love. The third part about this is those who are called according to his purpose. And when the Bible speaks of this call, it's not just a simple external call where you're hearing the gospel message, but it's this call that God gives, this effectual calling, that God is calling you unto himself. It's going to have the effect that God decrees. He's bringing you into his family. The last phrase here does not refer to a different group of people. All those whom God calls according to his purpose will love him. And all those who love God have been called according to his purpose. There's nothing which comes upon you that is wasted. As a believer, we should never look at hardships as some sort of tragedy. We just simply don't know what's going on. We know that God has all things under control, even if on this side of eternity we don't have all the answers. But it does mean that we can trust God because he's working for his purpose. So we have God's good provision to give us good gifts. We have God's good purpose to use our calamities for good and his glory. And lastly, I just want to look at, we have God's good promises towards us. Now, God's good promises towards us, I know many believers, you know, sometimes we like to quote verses. We need to be careful. The verses we quote, just make sure that they're intended for us as believers. And I think one of the most overlooked verses in the Bible is found in the letter to the Hebrews, one of my favorite books, Hebrews 13. And in verses 5 and 6, the author of Hebrews makes this astounding statement. And he says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, so God himself, Christ himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? You know, as a believer, you can stand on the fact of this promise that you never have to worry if God is with you. He says right here, I will never desert you. So as you're building your framework for thankfulness, and you get into the time the reformers and the Puritans use this term, the dark night of the soul, and they made it into this tunnel that you could just see this tiny little dot of light at the end. And sometimes as a believer, that tiny little dot of light is all we have to hold on to. But that tiny little dot of light never goes away because of his promise right here. I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. And he says that the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So contentment and thankfulness are completely inseparable. You will never be thankful for what you have until you're content with what you have. If you think you need more of something or you think you need something different, then you're not thankful because you're not content. And it's not as Christmas season comes around, and I know we have kids and they look at you and they say, I'm really thankful that I got this present, but I'd be even more thankful if I got something else. That's not thankfulness. When he says here, it's an emphatic point. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. We actually miss it a little bit as you're reading through in the English. But in the original, there's actually five negatives that are there. So if we were to read it literally, we don't talk like this in English and it sounds strange, but if we were to read it literally, it literally says word for word, no, I will not desert you, and I will not forsake you, is how it actually reads. So there's this emphasis that he's coming. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not. No, I will never. And that's what we need to hang on to as believers. And I got to be honest, if that doesn't make you thankful, I don't know what will. Spurgeon said, I cannot, under the influence of this grand text, find room for doubt or fear. I cannot stand here and be miserable tonight. I am not going to attempt such a thing. But I cannot be despondent with such a text as this. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I defy the devil himself to mention circumstances under which I ought to be miserable if this text is true. And he says, child of God, nothing ought to make you unhappy when you can realize this precious text. So how can we fulfill Paul's command? And how can we ultimately fulfill the will of God in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 to give thanks in everything? We see that God provides for us. So in our heart, do we realize that nothing good is withheld from us? It'll cause you to be thankful for what you have, but it'll also cause you to be thankful for what you don't have. You see, if you had something that you weren't supposed to, it would be to your detriment. Maybe you'd be able to handle the thing you were praying for, and by God's great mercy, he's actually withholding it from you because you actually can't. Can you be thankful for his great wisdom as he gives and withholds his provision? And his good plan for us, though you may not know why, do you trust that all the calamities that have come upon you are actually there for a purpose that God is using them for. And I know there's all trials that we all go through. The Christian life is often described as either coming out of a trial, going into a trial, or in a trial. It's pretty much the flow of the Christian life. But can you be thankful that God knows exactly where you are, that your entire Christian life takes place before the face of God? And then lastly, the Lord's good promise. Most importantly, do you know, and I mean deep down in your heart, do you really know that God is never, 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 never going to leave you? Is this enough? Knowing that God is for you, thinking of you, and acting on your behalf. Does that bring thankfulness into your heart? And I just want to close with Hebrews 13:15. It says, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. What is that praise to God? The author says, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you, and we are just blessed to know that, Lord, through it all, through our very short lives here, you are constantly working all of these things for your great glory and our good. Lord, I pray for us as we look back at this past year that we would be thankful, even in times that we just don't understand. But we would know and trust, Lord, that you do, and that, Lord, ultimately you'll bring these things all to fruition. And Lord, we do love you, and we thank you, and I pray you would just bless the rest of our evening. In Christ's name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon presented at Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.